You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Terrace Scottish Football Podcast. My name is Craig Telfer and right now, very now, I am joined by my close associate, Sean McGuigan.
Hello there.
And you know what happens when David Copperfield and Claudia Schiffer of the Terrace get together? That's right, we serve up a 14-inch plate of lower league Scottish football and we're going to tip it right down your ears whether you like it or not. Who's who, Sean?
I suspect you're Claudia Schiffer.
Listen, I'm happy. I was actually reading up about David Copperfield on Wikipedia. He's very wealthy.
All right. Well, do you want to be David Copperfield?
Aye. I think in the grand scheme.
Is he a good egg?
Very wealthy.
Did he get mauled by a tiger? Was that another magician?
I was looking at them. I was going to call us a Siegfried and Roy first, but then I'm sure I've done that and I was spinning the Rolodex in my mind of celebrity magicians. And then it was David Copperfield and his beautiful German model wife, Claudia Schiffer. So,
whatever. Let the listeners decide.
Exactly. This is democracy. Send us a tweet saying who should be who in this, and we'll look forward to reading it. But on today's podcast, we're going to be doing things a little bit differently. Normally, we spend an hour or so talking about three games from the lower leagues, but a lack of preparation and just Sean and I being very busy with a number of things has put paid to that. So we've asked you guys to help out. Earlier today, we asked you to get in touch with us via Twitter with questions about the Championship, League One, League Two and beyond. And we are going to answer them, really. Some were dreadful, but most of them were quite good. So thank you. And we're going to do our very best to get through them all. But Sean, just before we get going, I'd like to say it's good to see you again. It's been just under 24 hours since I last saw you.
Yes. And what I would say is, I don't know if we've discussed this recently, but you have a beautiful floor. Have we discussed this recently? Your floor is beautiful.
It was only put in on Monday, the floor. It's beautiful. It's herringbone flooring fitted by a company called Limelight Flooring, who I'd highly recommend if you think you get flooring done. They were recommended to me by Forfar Athletic captain Ross Meakin. So I'm going to start going to him for other needs. But they were brilliant. The guys were excellent. It is really a first-class job they've done. However, I'm currently sitting on my stomach on the floor. Basically, Sean, as you can see there, over my shoulder, a big pile of cardboard. You see that?
Yes.
And this side, a big pile of clothes. So yes. I feel like one of those sort of like lunatic aristocrats who just choose to live in squalor, like they've got thousands and thousands of pounds in the bank. They're just terrified to spend it, so they live like an absolute tramp.
I hope you're going to recycle those, whether I mean your clothes or the cardboard. Well, that's up for you to decide.
That's why the cardboard's piled up. I'm going to take it to the tip at the weekend and dispose of it. I've got a carpet put in the bedroom. And so the old carpet, that wasn't part of the contract that the fitter would take it away. So I've got to do that. So I'm going to have to make about 3 trips down to the Coupe at some point over the weekend, which I'm sure is a great way to spend your precious...
And honestly, though, in all honesty, I saw that flooring and I thought, somebody's doing very well for themselves.
Well, I look at the floor and said, somebody's getting paid the same amount of money as me for appearing on regional BBC television. That's what the floor would say to me, Sean. If I was you looking at that floor, I'd be like, I have the similar sort of income to Craig Telford. Perhaps I can think about doing the same thing with my living room. But that's up to you. So, yeah, check them out, Limelight Flooring. This is the opposite of the Man Grate. I would actually heartily recommend Limelight Flooring. I wouldn't recommend the Man Grate, that I've spent about a good 50, 60, 70 minutes of my life just rewatching what is the Man Grate, you ask? Video. Anyway, Sean, enough about us. I suppose, no, we should say that the new series of View Through the Terrace is back.
It's back on Friday evening, BBC Scotland Channel, 10:30 p.m. And what I would say is, we spent all day yesterday making it, and then I went back to my normal work today, and it felt shit.
Oh, man, tell me.
Back at normal work, it was rubbish.
I don't usually say this, but I mean, providing it gets edited today and tomorrow. In fact, it gets edited like Wednesday night and Thursday, then all the graphics, etc., and all the fancy stuff gets all put together on like the Friday morning. If all the funny stuff's taken in, I think it could be one of the funniest episodes.
I thought it was a funny episode. I am worried that they might take out some stuff about Nazis, anthrax, and leather jackets. But if they leave all of those bits in, it could be a very, very funny episode.
Do you think they're leaving the line about the trombone?
No, no, they definitely. But that would also, 4 things. Those 4 things would make it a very funny episode.
Aye, that's it. You think it's if you think you're sort of making a late night television show, and it's like Anything Goes, like the early days of Channel 5. We can assure you it's really not like that at all. But anyway, listen, let's get into it. We'll start with the questions. There's some good stuff in here, and we'll take the first one. It is from a very good friend of ours, Mr. Alistair Gemmell, a United fan who is...
No, sorry, I'm still supposed to be working, so I'm just moving my mouse until 8:30.
Right, there you go. There's a dark peek behind the curtain of Surveillance Britain. There you go. It's 1984, but it's in Sean McGuigan's front room. Frightening thought. What I was going to say, Sean, is we have a question from our good friend Alistair Gemmell, Air United fan, who wants to know, should Air United give Jim Duffy the manager's job on a permanent basis? And if not, who should be the leading candidate?
I think... Bear in mind, he has taken 7 points from 9. He has taken a squad that looked desperate and kind of bashed them into shape. Then, yes, he probably should be. I wouldn't be giving him a long contract. I think I'd be giving him a contract to the end of this season. But considering the mess that they were in and the fact that he appears to be hauling them out of that by their bootstraps, then yes, I think it's fair enough. And see, if you didn't give it to Jim Duffy, who are you giving it to? Don't get me wrong, I'm sure there's many people out there that you could offer it to. I think some Air fans would like to give it to John Hughes. I believe his nickname is Yogi.
Oh, that John Hughes. Oh, you're talking about the filmmaker.
Don't get me wrong, that might work well, but considering his short-term record, then Jim Duffy makes sense in the short term.
That's a big thing, isn't it? I think that I was reading comments on the United thread from Pine Bovril from Dumbarton supporters. And Dumbarton supporter actually made quite a good point about Jim Duffy's teams. They tend to start well, they get a good initial bounce, but then the longer it goes on, the worse it gets. And particularly if you think about how heinous a side, we've spoken about a lot this Dumbarton thing, you've got PTSD watching those games back from last season. They were horrendous to watch, and I'm not saying that that Air United have been at all. I'm sure that Jim Duffy's done better. I need to go and check. Actually started, they look quite a handy side until eventually they became really, really bad. So we'd have that in the back of my mind. And I, you know, I think for a person of Jim Duffy's profile, going to Air United as an assistant to David Hopkin, I think that says quite a lot about where Jim Duffy's ambitions might lie at the moment. You know, surely the name itself, Jim Duffy, would open numerous doors in Scottish football, given his, that he's sort of been around the houses. I think he's got a...
Exit doors or entrance doors.
You know that he's a name, he's high profile, he's had reasonable success at some place. I can't think of any off the top of my head.
To be fair, I tell you what I would say, that I agree with what you're saying. However, it felt like Jim Duffy's managerial career was very much on the wane. To such a degree that when he joined up with Hopkin at Ayr, you feel like that was it.
Oh, like definitely. That's what I'm saying. That's the thing I'm saying, like in terms of his own ambition, where his managerial career is at. And on top of that, his health, I'm sure when he was at Dumbarton, he had a heart attack as well. So it just depends on what he wants to do. It might be comfortable in the meantime, but certainly I would... Fuck, I'm trying to think what I would do if I was at United, because he's done well so far. You can't say like 7 points out of nine from a team that were absolutely floundering. That's a pretty, pretty handy return.
Yeah, because they looked desperate. And then he seems to have, he's got something out of them. I could see why, if I was Jim Duffy and I wanted the job, I could see why I would be asking the chairman, like, what's happening here? If I was an United fan, I'd be like, well, maybe you'd given it to him a wee bit early. Mm-hmm. Like maybe you could interview some other people. Maybe you could run the rule over four or five other potential managers.
Who would these potential managers be? You mentioned John Yogi Hughes's one. Can you think of anyone else who might
that's the one that several Ayr fans, not necessarily sensible ones, have been suggesting would be the most obvious choice.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone. Darren Young's name seems to crop up.
You know something, his star seems to be very much on the wane. I mean, East Fife looked dreadful. There is a point where football managers, even if they're doing well, probably need to get out of Dodge, and Darren Young probably should have done so a long time ago.
I think so, but I suppose it's just all the opportunities though that came up. I'm sure he interviewed for the Partick Thistle job at the same time as Ian McCall. And got it. You know, not everyone can be like an Alex Ferguson and stay on top for so long. I think that only in rare cases, football management just really seems to be a cyclical thing that only lasts 2-3 years at one club before you need to move on. But good luck to United. And Alistair, thank you very much for getting in touch with the question. This is one, Sean, this is one from you in Richmond. And he said, would you rather have a season where Stennis Mirren are managed by Scott Booth? The equivalent for you is Raith Rovers with Claudine Elka managing them, or as a director of football, or watch a full Bedil syndrome in one sitting. That's from you in Richmond. What do you think about that?
Now, I suppose the advantage you have here is that you have watched all the episodes of Bedil syndrome, not just once, but several times.
I
so
think
you,
Sean,
you're aware of how good or how bad. Is it one series, two series?
Only one series, 13 episodes.
Right, so you're aware of how poor all 13 episodes are. I would not put myself through that. So that's where I am at a disadvantage. I suppose when I put myself into a kind of rational position here, so they're only 30-minute episodes, aren't they?
Yep.
Right, so it's six and a half hours. Yep. So if I can watch Bedil syndrome for 6.5 hours, I don't have to put up with Claudine Elka anymore. It feels like a good sacrifice.
It does. And the thing is, I actually have watched Bedil syndrome more than anyone else in the world. I genuinely think that's the case. All 13 episodes are available on YouTube. I've watched them numerous times. Like I take the laptop with me into the shower and I watch stuff there. I watch stuff in bed. I have it on in the background if I'm playing the PlayStation or I'm watching the football on the telly.
Do you want to kind of get into why you watch it? Do you want to leave that?
That's the thing, I don't know. I mean, I used to.
Because you know it's bad.
Yeah, and I don't laugh at it. It's a perverse thing. I think it comes back down to I don't remember watching it. I'd never heard of it until a couple of years ago. But I remember somebody posted an article from The Guardian from 2001 before it was broadcast. And it was when Sky One wanted to become the British version of HBO. And they wanted to commission different shows. Now, Baddiel's syndrome, but David Baddiel, when he was being interviewed for it, said there's a tradition in the United States where stand-up comedians get their own shows based on him. So he mentioned like Seinfeld, The Cosby Show, Roseanne. Two of them are disgraced and one of them goes out with what people two-thirds his age. But that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just a bit weird. Anyway, and I think Baddiel's syndrome has single-handedly killed that idea in the United Kingdom because it's really, really bad. It was written by David Baddiel. It was written by Peter Bradshaw, who is the film critic at The Guardian. Peter Bradshaw is actually quite good in it as Lord Peter Harrington, but it's just the jokes are really bad. It's got a laughter track on it, and I think this is around the time when The Office was out and you really saw them move away from laughter tracks. It's just not funny, it's not clever, and it's really bad, yet somehow I have watched it more than anyone else in the planet, I'm sure.
How many times do you think you've watched it?
I think that the episode Dream Home, which is my favourite out of the lot of them, I think I must have watched that about 30 times.
30?
Aye.
30 times?
Aye, 3-0.
So approximately 15 hours?
Yeah, so that's... can I just answer Ewan Richmond's question? I will watch the full episode, but I will watch all 13 episodes in one sitting. That's fine. You need to change the question a bit. It's like, you may say like Baddiel's syndrome some sort of punishment. I don't mind watching Baddiel's syndrome. I'll happily watch Baddiel's syndrome. Change the question, you. Next time we're doing this, come back with something a bit more difficult.
It doesn't make a lick of sense, but there we go.
No, it doesn't. Sean, do you remember when you said the Cali Thistle squad could challenge for the title because we were lacking squad depth? Then we brought Sean Welsh, Billy McKay and Aaron Doran off the bench in our first game of the season? Ask Scott Bambi. I don't remember that. And can Inverness go the season without defeat? Ask Big Sammy Tollins, boy. No, because our squad's thin. Next question. This is from SW Groundhopper. He asks, I'm heading to Scotland in February for my first match. Which ground should I visit and why?
Oh, that's good. So which ground should you visit? So Ben and I read a ground topper yesterday. Good question. Gayfield is the obvious one.
Yes.
Because it's unique and it's difficult to think of somewhere else where you'll... Easy to get there by train, loads of decent pubs, great pub across the road, a kind of quaint stadium that is unique and loads of... loads of kind of local people that will kind of take you in. They'll very much welcome you in. Like you can walk into a pub and say, right, I am from wherever I'm from, and they will welcome you in like a pal.
Yeah, no, I'd agree that Gayfield's the obvious one. I'm trying to think what else. Say Gayfield was shut down for renovation, or the blueberry harvest had been poor that year and they had to grow it on the Gayfield pitch. Then I was trying to think what the other grounds that perhaps...
Yeah, I just almost snorted in my nose. The blueberry harvest.
Only a handful of people that will get that. But the one that came to mind is Galabank to go and watch Annan Athletic. I was down at the Galabank a couple of weeks ago. It was the first time I'd been down when Stenismuir got relegated in 2019. So it was the first time I'd been down in about 2 years, and it was a Saturday, it was a nice day. And just, it's such a brilliantly contained little area where you've got the social club is fantastic in there. And I can imagine that for a town of Annan size being a real community hub where they have like live music and singers and I'm just trying to think of things they do in Phoenix Nights, mediums and stuff that perhaps would come along and do that. But it's big, it's spacious, it's well priced, and you can take a handful of steps and you're into the ground. In Galabank, to watch the football is fantastic. You've got a nice little grandstand that runs along the length of the pitch and behind the goals, which apparently when we went down there a couple of weeks ago, I was told it was the Stirling Albion end, which I've never, ever, you know, it's like at Hampden, you get the Rangers and Celtic end. This apparently, this part ends the Stirling Albion end behind the goals. And it's great to go and stand.
Did you get an explanation as to why it was the Stirling Albion end?
I don't know. I think Stirling Albion must just stand there when they go there a lot, but then so do lots of other fans. But going there is great to watch football, especially in the state. And I think that for a club of Annan's size and what they need, then Gallabank's amazing. I'd recommend that.
What about, I'm trying to think of other venues to go. What about in League One? I think Montrose is a good venue.
That would be my third pick would be Montrose. Montrose, it's like the ground is a 10-minute walk from the train station. There's about a good 5 or 6 pubs you pass on the way there, yep, that are all pretty nice. You could easily, happily spend an evening just in them. And it's just a great to watch. Oh, you've got the grandstand there, and then you can stand anywhere around the pitch. There's covered terracing behind one of the goals, and it's great. And it's the same thing, Sean, I find that you summed up our growth very well, that everyone's just very friendly and everyone's just really pleased to see you there. And I think if you tell them you are from out of town, they will go out their way to be hospitable for you. I would say that. I know it's perhaps not the best day in Scotland, but I'd say that about Stenhouse Muir. Very, very friendly place to come for away fans. If you were SW Groundhopper, if you came to Oakleview and said that you were like up from, I don't know where, London, I think, and that you might be from, if you were up from London, they would really go out their way to accommodate you. And so I'd recommend that. But I'd like to think that most small teams in Scotland are like that with away supporters. Other ones I'd say that are nice, Ibrox is a good stadium to go to. No, come on, it is. Ibrox is a good stadium to go to. I know you're making faces.
For who is Ibrox a
Rangers fans? As long as SW Groundhopper supports Rangers or the Conservative Party, then you'll have a fucking great time there. I suppose that answers a question from Lewis McFarlane. In your opinion, what are the best away days in the lower leagues? I suppose that covers it. That answers that question. But there's a lot of richness. Remember, the 442 published their greatest grounds in Europe. I think the 100 grounds in Ibrox and Celtic Park were 1 and 2 respectively.
Which is odd.
I thought like Villa Park or something might have gone. Villa Park generally considered to be really good. But Balmoor was in there. I thought I would never have put Balmoor.
It was 74, is that right?
Aye, but even so, like I would have put that in terms of Scottish grounds, I'd have put Balmoor down quite.
It's not as good as, so it's not as good as someplace like, so if you want someplace similar, it's nowhere near as good as Boro Briggs.
Oh, Boro Briggs is a great ground.
Nah.
Boro Briggs,
and that was then at all.
Yeah. Yeah, Boro Briggs, excellent. Even like Berwick or somewhere like that, you know, like Shieldfield Park's a fantastic ground. Is that enough? That was good. Pardon?
No, Shieldfield's good.
Oh, aye, I love going to Shieldfield. The social club's right next to the ground. You can go into the Ducket. It's great. I really like Shieldfield. And Berwick's a nice wee town as well to go and visit.
I mean, I don't get wrong. I enjoyed it, but I don't know if I would have it in my top 100.
I'd have it.
Likewise, Balmoor.
The Rex was there as well.
I wouldn't be having Alloa in my top 100 in Britain.
It's nice, though. I mean, the view's nice. That's the real local view.
Aye, literally the only thing, and I do find it a bit frustrating that Alloa have that view of the Ockles, but Senny barely have any view of the Ockles, but they're called Ockle View.
You can see almost see my mum and stepdad's house from Ockle View.
Well, there you go, another aspect.
Look at them and see what they're doing in my old room. Anyway, what do you make of League One? Why is division, assuming that's why is the division, what do you make of League One? Why is the division so compact outside of the relegation places? That's from Duncan McNabb. I think the answer to that, there's a real lack of obvious quality in that league. You'd have to look at Queen's Park and Falkirk as the two most obvious teams to challenge in for each other at the top of the table. Queen's Park's problem is they're dropping silly points in games that they really shouldn't. You know, dropping points in opening day of season to East Fife, dropping points to 10-man Alloa, losing a last-minute equaliser to Clyde, almost dropping points at Peterhead at the weekend. But once they do that, I'm sure they'll have a real good chance. And Falkirk, for me, and people watching might say differently, I think it's a real lack of cutting edge up front. They're creating loads of chances, just not putting them away. And at the back, they're making daft mistakes on a consistent basis. That's probably why there's the top two there. But I suppose the teams are all very evenly matched. Now, that's quite an obvious thing to say, but when you go through the squads for the teams outside of Falkirk and Queen's Park, go through the squads, they're very much of a muchness between them.
I think you can include Falkirk and Queen's Park to a degree in terms of your much of a muchness. So this Falkirk, certainly, in fact, this Falkirk squad, this very much looks like a team that has spent three seasons in League One. It looks like a team that is spending less money on their squad and has scaled back, which is fine because you've been in League One for quite a while now. But it only looks a wee bit better than most other teams in League One. Whereas Queen's Park, which is also an interesting one, in that I think we expected them, certainly in League Two, where it looked like they were spending, not a fortune, but they were spending a good bit of money to get out of League Two. And it's like, right, well, you're going to continue to spend money to get into the Championship. But it doesn't feel like they have done that over the summer. It looks like they've, and maybe this is why Ray McKinnon left. It looks like they've kind of spent some money to, no, that doesn't make any sense.
I know what you mean.
They've bolstered their squad, but they haven't bolstered it with names. It doesn't feel like they've spent an absolute fortune. They have brought in some good players and players that could get them out of League One, but it doesn't feel like it's a foregone conclusion that Queen's Park are going to win that league.
No, you know something, it's like compared to 12 months ago, for instance, you look at that team and you think, wow, that team's good enough to hold its own in League One. Wasn't quite a Championship ready squad, as one former Scotland talisman said on the television. Also had only watched Connor Shields play the once. Probably one of my favourite clips from the coverage is, "Well, you think Connor Shields? Only seen him play the once." But anyway, we're getting sidetracked there. But I think that the Queen's Park
see if you want to talk about commentators. I did like how much Rory Loy has been talked up recently. But then he said that Dunfermline's defeat to Elgin recently was really embarrassing. And it was a game that didn't take place.
However, he must have checked his Twitter page at half-time and saw that loads of people were digging him out for it. It was like, and very quick, it was seconds into the second half, he was like, he got that right. Sean and I we're going to be recording a Patreon about the Raith Rovers Dunfermline game, talk about the wider consequences for both sides. Probably Dunfermline are the more interesting side at the moment to discuss. But I was going to talk about Rory Loy and just say he's an absolutely fantastic co-commentator, considering he's only done it a handful of times. I think he
may be as good as we've got at this moment of time.
Aye, he'll get better, because there's when you listen to him, he can perhaps be too wordy at times, but compared to some of the other people that are from the national broadcaster, ourselves included. No, we're not including ourselves, but there are some people in the national broadcaster who just don't do their homework and don't do their research. And to me, listening to him, it sounds like he feels like it's like quite, he's lucky to be there. And so just wants to create a really, really good impression.
But he wants to be there. It feels like he's lucky to be there, and he wants to get as much in as possible.
I mean, even watching him at the Berwick versus Gretna 2008 Scottish Cup game, you could just tell he had a real zeal for football. And I recorded a podcast with him back in 2018. When he just moved from Falkirk to Dumbarton, and I was in his company for, it was over two sessions because there was a malfunction in one of the final part, but I was in his company for about cumulatively 4 hours, and I thought, this guy's class, this guy will be a pundit. And it's probably one of the only few things I ever predicted is going to correct him absolutely. So there's a good wee pop for Rory Loy. Not sure why that came into discussion about why League One is so compact outside the relegation places, but Duncan, thank you for the question. We're sorry we didn't answer it. Here's one from Stuart Thompson. This is quite an interesting one. Without major changes to the finances at either club, what do you think the current ceiling is for Stenhousemuir and for Raith Rovers?
For Raith Rovers, it would be a very low level Premiership club. And I mean, bear in mind, for the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, it's been a kind of mid-table League One club and mid-table Championship club. So how do you elevate that? Can't really go any further than a team that could be in the Premiership that is fighting relegation and a mid-table Championship club. And I don't even think that would necessarily be something that I would expect. But in terms of a ceiling, I do think that's about as far as we can go.
I think for part-time clubs, you look at Alloa and Arbroath as examples of what you want to achieve, where you can hold your own in the Championship, because a lot of it comes down to like recruitment, you know, like signing the right players. Obviously, wages come down to it, but identifying and signing the right players. And I remember with Stennis Muir, they saw themselves, and this is until the season they're having just now right now, but they saw themselves as wanted to emulate what East Fife do and be a good, solid, upward-looking League One club that is never really going to be bothered by relegation, but will always be looking to be involved in a top four discussion and maybe even kick on one stage further. And I think that's something that all part-time clubs in Scotland can emulate to. I know that there'll be a big discussion in terms of...
But what I would say is that generally East Fife haven't been in that discussion. Like, they have been for the last 3 or 4 years.
I think it was...
Even that's unusual for East Fife.
I think he was just using a club who were quite like a moderate, like a similar size club who were doing quite well for themselves, and that was East Fife. And I thought, yes, that is the sort of team that you, maybe not East Fife, but that profile is what you want to fit, like mid-table League One, upward looking with an aim of maybe going one step further. But it's not going to bloody happen this season anyway. Who is the most underrated player in the Lowland Leagues and why is it Graham Webster? Asks Blair Ruxton.
Graham Webster is good, but he takes a lot of penalties. Always seems to be scoring penalties.
Oh, because they count less, don't they?
He scores a lot of penalties, is what I'm saying. He's a very good player. He scores a lot of penalties.
Who would be the most underrated then?
Somebody
that's not heralded.
You've got me in the back foot here.
I'll go for maybe, like, I know he's scoring lots of goals at the moment, so I don't know if he's underrated or not, but a player who I thought was a strange signing at the time, but has turned out to be an absolutely phenomenal attacker, Michael McKenna at Arbroath. I think he's a really good player. He's got a very specific role within that team, but he does it very well. And he's a strange player because he's not a midfielder, he's not a striker, he's not like a wide player. He's not like an attacking midfielder. He's not like a number 10, but he's like a forward. So just like a sort of indistinguishable attacking player. But it really, really works what he does. And he's so energetic. And he's a great player. Very important player for Dick Campbell's side.
What about, and I appreciate he's getting a lot of inches, press inches now, but Dario Zanatta. In that, like, nobody really... So Partick, he had a bad time at Partick, he had a bad time at Ayr. He signed for Raith Rovers, and a lot of Raith Rovers fans did not have a lot of time for him, but he has now scored something like 6 and 13, and he very rarely scores a goal that isn't from about 25 yards.
A lot of people, Sean, I didn't put these questions because we're going to be talking about them later, but a lot of the questions, must have been 3 or 4 that came in and says, can Dario Zanatta only score when he comes in from the left onto his right foot?
Yes, but that's fine. That's fine. See, if he does it every single week, I don't have an issue with that.
Nobody complained when Arjen Robben was doing it.
No, likewise.
I've said it before. I'm not sure if he's underrated, but Liam Brown at Queen's Park's a player that I really, really like as well. I remember seeing him for Edinburgh City last season and thinking he's such a talent, he should not be playing in League Two next year because he can just control the middle of the park, uses the ball so well, always just seems to be like half a second faster and up here than everyone else. And it's good to see him playing at Queen's Park. Although when I saw him play against Cove Rangers, he was playing like a number 10. I know that's the number in the back of his shirt. I think he's better used in a deeper role. But I think he's really good and has been a good signing for the Spiders. Scott Brown, I know he's not underrated, Scott Brown at Peterhead. Everyone really likes him. Yeah.
That might be about it in terms of underrated.
Stuart Carswell at Dumbarton.
No.
Okay.
He's okay. People think he's okay. We think he's okay.
Okay. So I think we can we'll just agree with Blair Ruxton. Graham Webster is the most underrated player in the lower leagues, penalties aside. Now here's one. This is a tricky one. Now, similar to the recent SPFL Scotland Delivering Patreon, who would Craig Telfer and Sean McGuigan like to see in the lower league Scotland 11 and take on similar jobbers from another lower league side in Europe? This is from Greg P.
This will take forever. If we have literally to come up with an 11 that I haven't really thought about previously, this could take forever. I think there's a question about a five-a-side team. We could answer that.
All right, okay, right. Sorry, Greg, that's your question is too difficult for Sean to answer. We're going to skip on one. If that is the yin, this question's very much the yang. This is from Fraser Elgin. Each choose a five-a-side team with the five worst lower league players you have seen. The teams must be chosen with the express purposes of losing the game. I'll go first. I'm going to put the goalkeeper. I'm going to put Stennis Muir's current backup goalkeeper, Ryan Marshall, in the goals. Ryan Marshall signed, of course, from Broomhill Sports Club, Glasgow. the big problem, yeah, of course, like the big problem that Ryan Marshall has is that he's like Claudio Bravo at Manchester City. Remember when he was playing there? Or Vasilis Barkas at Celtic, that when you shoot, you're going to score because he can't save shots. He cannot save shots. Shots just pass through his body like a spectre. And his performance in the 4-1 defeat at home to Celtic Hearts really needs to be seen to be believed. It was all the hallmarks, actually, of a goalkeeper in five-a-sides who had gone in because it was his turn and just didn't want to be in goals again. But I'd certainly nominate him as goalie.
For my goalkeeper, I would go for Andrew McNeil. So, Andy McNeil, there was loads of evidence. There's loads of evidence that Andy McNeil isn't a very good goalkeeper. I remember when I think Scotland got to the under-19 European Championship final, something like that, and we lost. And then that gave us qualification to the under-20 World Cup. And I remember staying up, I think it was in Canada. I remember staying up for the first game and we played, I think it was Japan. And Japan scored the goal from about 55 yards over Andy McNeil's head. And I was like, oh, I'm not sure Andy McNeil is ever going to be a very good goalkeeper. And then we signed him after he'd had a dreadful season. Regardless, we picked him up during the season where we went head to head with Dunfermline for a good bit. But we had David McGurn, and then John McGlynn dropped McGurn for him, and I was like, right, well. Okay, well, maybe he sees something from it in training that we're not seeing. Maybe Andy McNeil is a far better goalkeeper than I anticipated. I remember him being at fault for two goals against Cowdenbeath and a 2-0 draw that pretty much surrendered the title bid. And then we played him against Dunfermline next week, and he was more nervous than a cat in a kennel, is the only way I could describe it. I've never seen anything like it. And as much as Raith Rovers fans would have a statue of John McGlynn if we ever get promoted to the Premiership, there's still a wee bit about me that thinks, why on earth did you drop the best goalkeeper Raith Rovers have had for 20 years for Andy McNeil? It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't make... I suppose, though, Andy McNeil kind of would give me the impression that he's very good in training, that he can pull off saves and shots and do all the good stuff in training. But when it comes to actual real stuff, it's just the pressure. Like, he just can't deal with pressure.
He eventually took up a job with the Chinese FA, where he was training Chinese goalkeepers.
Okay, if anyone knows the standard of Chinese goalkeepers, please, again, send us a tweet alongside, maybe thread it with the Claudia Schiffer, David Copperfield one from earlier. I was trying to think outfield. I suppose it's like you can only really think. I was trying to think of guys out with my own club that I've seen, and I'm just like, he was rubbish. But there was a tweet that you put out, Sean, about a Cowdenbeath striker. He was a Slovenian, a Slovakian striker. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Jurisic.
Aye. What was he like?
Dreadful. He only was only here for about, like, his. So his his hype video lasted about 7 minutes, but that was roughly about as long as he lasted in Cowden Beef.
So I'll nominate a story. This is one from Steny. This is a guy we had on loan from Partick Thistle back in 2011. His name's Sean Fraser. And there's another Sean Fraser that went on to play for a couple of junior teams in Queen's Park. This is a different Sean Fraser. Sean Fraser came through the Thistle Academy. I think he might have scored in his debut for Thistle, bundling the ball into the net before coming on loan to us. And on his profile on the website, it said he's very sporty. He had the choice when he was in his early teens to follow a football path or a rugby path, and chose a football path. And I very much want to say that rugby's loss is also football's loss, because he is like singularly the most limited footballer I've ever seen. You know, there's guys you see at your club and you think he's not very good, but there's obviously a bit of ability about him. Like, he can pass and he looks fit. He came on against, we play up at Forth for Athletic. He came on as a substitute, and as soon as he touched the ball, you're thinking, this guy just doesn't look like a football player. And I think he made 3 appearances for Stenismuir, racking up about 40 minutes worth of game time. And I said, this is one of like most limited footballers I've ever seen in my life. And I think after leaving Thistle, he went into, he's a good-looking boy, I think he went on to do modelling. So fair play to him. I'm sure he'd laugh in the face of me, and I just have to sit and take it. But in terms of, we're not here to talk about good looks, we're here to talk about football. You ever seen Sean Glengarry Glen Ross? You know Alec Baldwin's motivational speech?
Uh-huh.
There's a bit in it where he's like, good father, fuck you, go home and play with your kids. So it doesn't really matter if you're a nice, good-looking boy. If you don't have the minerals for it, then away up the road.
Yes,
that's effectively. So that's effectively. You could maybe apply that to these football teams. I'm sure that Daniel Juricic and Andy McNeil, Ryan Marshall, and so on. These guys were giving a hard time to our nice guys, but fuck you, go home and play with your kids.
My dreadful players were all players that kind of made it,
right?
But were dreadful as I watched them. So they included my defender was Ross Perry.
Oh, of course.
My midfielder was between Scott Roberts and Barry Mackay. And you know something? I just really dislike Barry Mackay. So that's my midfielder. And then, so 1-1-1, and then that leaves me with two forwards. Was, in terms of me seeing them at the time and thinking, both of these players are going right out of Scottish football and they're going to be participating in junior ranks very soon. Kevin Nisbet and Lauren Shankland.
Well, well, well. They are probably listening to it just now, sitting on a throne made of gold and just having a right laugh at you, Sean.
No, but in all honesty, Nisbet was dreadful for Dumbarton, dreadful for Ayr, and Shankland, and I can't remember if I was either at Morton or St Mirren, and he came on as a sub, and he was just... And I don't mean he was overweight in terms of a normal person, but from a professional football perspective, he was big. And you're like, right, well, he's going to be at Pollock in the next 6 months, and yet here we are. Not getting in for a beer shot.
Exactly. I'd love a beer shot. I'd love a shot of a beer just now. The other one, a fullback called Tommy Lennox played for Berwick Rangers. I remember beating Berwick, I think it was 2-0. This is a few years ago, beating them 2-0. I'd been university times. So I was in the 2008 season, and Tommy Lennox is dreadful. It's weird that stuck out as one of the all-time worst performers. I couldn't tell you anything else about Tommy Lennox other than he was absolutely dreadful in that game. And no one will ever heard of him. That's the other thing. The boy that played for Albion Rovers a few years ago, Larry Aqua. Do you know who this guy is?
I have not. I don't recall him.
Like,
it sounds like you've just made them up.
No,
Aqua.
It sounds like he'd been arrested by the police, and you're thinking of a name, and you've been arrested next to sort of body of water. So you're just looking around there. Larry Aqua was a big guy that they'd signed. He, no idea where he could come from and no idea where he went either. There's a Paul Martin signing. He was fucking rapid, like absolutely rapid.
That's a start.
I remember interviewing John Gemmell, who played alongside him, and Larry, he could take, he'd such a bad first touch that he would get the ball on the halfway line and his first touch would take it like all the way down to the penalty spot. But he was so fast, he could actually catch up with it before the goalkeeper would get there. So I'd have him in there because I remember thinking, like seeing football, like pace, it's like if you're a manager and you've got a fast player, pace can cover up so many limitations. It's just this guy couldn't do anything other than run. He was absolutely shocking. So that's it. Sean Fraser, Larry Aqua, Tommy Lennox, Ryan Marshall, and let's see who else can go in there. Yeah, you know what? I'm going for a full frontal three-pronged attack with Tommy Lennox swinging up behind him. I'm going for Denon Lewis as my other striker, the Falkirk striker who was on loan from Watford. And it all comes down to that one moment in the game against Dunfermline Athletic.
They shepherded the ball out.
Where if you didn't know any better, you would think, well, that's a really good piece of defending there. Yeah, he had a chance to shoot. Shep let the ball run across him and that was just the noise of the south stand as he's getting absolute pelters, quite right. Dreadful player and somebody who just seemed like a bit of a twat in social media afterwards. So yeah, that's it. So Ryan Marshall goes, Tommy Lennox, and then a front three of Sean Fraser, Larry Aqua and Denon Lewis.
I think my team would beat yours.
Well, given the fact...
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, that's the fact. Given you've got a former Rangers superstar anchoring your defence, and of course we're going to win.
Fair play. And two Scotland strikers.
And two Scotland strikers. Let's see. How long do you think Dunfermline board will persevere? We'll talk with Peter Grant in the main show. What would our... This is from Andrew Neil, presumably not the disgraced TV news presenter. What would Arbroath do if they actually got promoted? Is a part-time team in the top flight possible?
I think it's possible. I think they would finish bottom. I think they would finish bottom with about 16 points.
I'd say, unless they went full-time... Which would be, you'd think that they, to give themselves a chance, they would have to go full time. I think that it's one thing running up against like guys like fit boys that aren't very good in the championship, but you step up a level where there is a big markup in quality there. You're coming against the guys that are very fit and decent. Even teams like County and stuff will be decent and better organised. And I think that just having good players only goes so far. You need to give yourself a wee bit extra because if you're not good enough, you better be fit enough. And I think that's going to be a disadvantage. But maybe if Arbroath were to go up, they would just stay part-time, bag the money, and then just like that would be the club stable for the rest of their days.
I think they would give a good account of themselves. However, I think if you go back the last three seasons, they've been reliant on a loan player. You go back two seasons ago, Craig Whiting probably nudged them out of bother. The season... After that, Jack Hamilton probably kept their nose above water. This season, Joe Newbley it's actually different this season because I think they have a good squad and Joe Newbley might be the difference between mid-table and top four. But regardless, if they were to get into the Premiership next season, where is Dick Campbell going to go for his loan players? Because it would still feel like they would still need something. And he might get that, and I'm not entirely sure, but I think they would... I think they would really toil and I think they would have a pretty low points tally.
I don't think that Dick Campbell has any interest whatsoever in being a full-time manager. I think he enjoys his golf holidays too much and you can't really do that when you've got a full-time team to manage. So,
But I don't think they would go full-time.
I suppose you'd have to give yourself the best chance. I don't know. I don't know. I suppose then you'd get the usual pencil neck saying that, oh, it's embarrassing for Scottish football. How can we sell our TV deal when we've got a part-time team in a full-time division? Oh, my God.
Because it's a good laugh, isn't it?
That's exactly what I would say. Sean, Ewan Doyle wants to know, what is the best beach in Fife?
So, St Andrews is very nice. Aberdour is nice. Kirkcaldy isn't so great. Petticoat. It is very nice, and Kinghorn is very nice. That would be my top four. It's difficult to argue against St Andrews. However, if you wanted like a nice wee one that's kind of out the way, that probably nobody else has discovered, I would say Pettigar.
Okay, I've literally never heard of Pettigar.
Really nice.
That's nice. Don't want to go St Andrews, too many Americans. This is a dual question. This is one from Drunky Monkey. This is a man with a Family Guy avatar in 2021. And another follow-up question for Mike Langstaff. So these are going to like run these two together. But Drunky Monkey asks, what is the best food at a lower league ground? And Mike Langstaff, a follow-up to that, said, should Airdrie get a points deduction each time they sell a mince pie and label it as steak, their excuse being it's minced steak? Start with the best food first of all, Sean. Like, I'll be honest, I am not a man who eats football.
So this is an interesting question. I'll tell you what happens with myself. I don't normally eat at the football. And the reason I don't normally eat at football is because it kicks off at 3 and then it finishes at approximately 10 to 5. So I normally have lunch at about the back of 12 or the back of 1. So I don't really need anything to eat between 3 and quarter to 5, because then you're going home and you're having your dinner at, I don't know, in the back of 6 or 7. I might have a pie if I go to a Scotland game at the back of 7, 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong, I have had pies at the football, but I am no expert when it comes to pies at various grounds. I did like a haggis pie at Ross County, but they're not lower league anymore. I was lower league at the time, but they're not lower league anymore. But in terms of the best lower league pie, I don't know, because eating between 3 and quarter to 5 is, in my opinion, unusual.
The only one I was thinking, I don't normally eat at games myself, so I'm not the best person to comment, but I would say there was a tweet a couple of months ago from David Stoker, sort of very well-known guy who goes to loads of lower league football matches. In fact, not just like lower league football, he goes to football all the time. He must have been about 60 games already this season. Fair play to him. Smashing guys, Big David. But he posted a picture from Armadale Thistle of a doner kebab pie. Did you see it?
I'm not so sure about that. Don't get me wrong, I would sample it. Oh. But I don't know if I could endorse it without sampling it. That doesn't sound right.
He gave it 9 stars.
Well, to be fair, he has sampled a lot of pies. I mean, literally, he
does a pie review.
He's been to about 60 games this season. I don't follow him. I find his output quite dull. But regardless, he eats a lot of pies, and if he's given it 9 out of 10, it's difficult to not endorse it.
No, smashing guy, David. Certainly the last time I've seen him. Might have been at an Albion Rovers game in midweek that he and I happened to be at. But no, good guy, and certainly someone that knows his pies, and I want that doner pie right this second. What about the question from Mike Langstaff about Airdrie getting a point deduction when they sell their so-called steak pies?
No, that seems harsh. I would just say they can't sell it as steak pies.
Okay, that's you don't want to into the trading standards to get involved with football matters.
I tell you what I would say. I remember the last time I was at Rugby Park, which is a lot of years ago now. I remember they said that I did go for a pie. I think it was a midweek game, and they said that they were selling genuine Scotch pies from Wales, and I wasn't entirely sure how that worked.
Aye, that's Stuart's inquiry into that one. Again, there's another thread to the tweet. If you can explain that alongside Claudia Schiffer and David Copperfield. And I can't remember what the other one was. What was the other one? I can't remember. Doesn't matter.
Goodness, it was ages ago.
Aye, God, we've been talking here for nearly an hour, Sean, and we're going to keep on going, because how long did it take Telford to get the flooring done? It took, this is a two-pronged question, by the way, how long did it take the flooring to get done? The guys were in 3 times. The first time was to rip up the carpet and screed the floor, but because it's an older flat, the floor is uneven, and they need to let it dry longer, so they were in for a wee bit on the Thursday, in on the Friday to put down the full, wait for that to dry, then put it more down, leave it to dry over the weekend, and in on the Monday, and that's when a lot of the work was done on the Monday. That's when all the tiling went down. There you go, Alex, to answer your question. There's there 3 days. It took a wee bit of time to wait for them as well, because they're a busy company, but certainly well worth the wait. But anyway, how worried are you for Stenis Muir, given their poor start? And a few people have asked, so Little Alex Morrow is one of them, Matt Reed and somebody, one team in Glasgow, somebody choosing to stay anonymous on Twitter asking about Steny. How worried am I for Steny? Very worried. And the reason I'm very worried is simply because of this relegation trapdoor that's in place. If you're not very good, the danger you get sucked to the bottom of the table and you've got to face off against Fraserburgh or Bonnyrigg Rose Athletic, two pretty handy sides that I imagine could hold their own in League Two. I think the problem we've got, I'm just going to repeat the points I made on last week's podcast, that's the signings haven't been brilliant. The manager doesn't know how to get the best out of them. He's tried like Ross Forbes, for instance, in four different positions and he's not played well in any of them. He's used four different players at right back in 14 competitive matches. He's used four different players at left back. He's gone through three different central defence combinations. And it just seems to me that at this stage of the season, we're eight league games in, not even at the first quarter yet, we're just throwing shit against the wall and hoping something sticks. Like at the weekend, there, he started playing a right back at left back. The guy, Michael Miller, who came in from Air United, supposedly to shore up the defence, he started playing at right back. And it just looks all over the place. And you really need to find an answer soon because lost to Elgin, who aren't a good side, lost to when Elgin had two shots on goal and scored with them both. And then early in the month, you draw 1-1 with Cowdenbeath, and that's a Cowdenbeath team who hadn't trained or played in 2 weeks because of the coronavirus and had a squad of 14 players to pick from, and they were all like in different positions because they couldn't get a proper team out. And if you can't beat these sides, then you're asking, geez, oh, then where's the wind coming from? You know, so I am worried. And we've got Forfar Athletic on Saturday. Forfar are a good side. I imagine they'll be one of the sides looking to finish behind Kelty as the best of the rest. So he really needs to get a combination that works. I mean, just being in the wee bar with the supporters on the Sunday, the Saturday even, looking at the team lines and trying to figure out what we were looking to do, just can't make any sense of it, Sean. And it's just, I think that, you know, as a fan, you try to think, well, here's a team I would, like, you know better than the manager, here's a team I'd put out. I genuinely don't know what you do with these players because they're all much of muchness.
Cowdenbeath looked like the worst team in the world on Saturday against Stirling Almo, so that might be your saving grace.
Well, we drew 1-1 with Cowdenbeath, who hadn't. That's it. If you're going to take it, he's one of the worst teams in the division, worst teams in the SPFL, who haven't trained or played in 2 weeks and can only put a squad of 14 on the match day, and you still can't beat them, then you're asking the questions. Fuck. Then it's bad. So I am worried. I am worried. And the team's been quite expensively put together as well, so it's a disgrace that we are where we are, and I really hope there's an upturn in form. I really hope it works out, because I don't like being here complaining about my football team. I want to be here talking about wins, and we're not talking about wins, we're just talking about the exact same stuff I spoke about last week, and it's embarrassing. Mark McDonald's asked,
I'm not laughing at you, I'm laughing with you.
Mark McDonald's asked, Craig, have you made it to a Pollock game yet? If not, why not? Best team to go and watch in Glasgow. Mark, no, I haven't. Why? Because I've no interest. We answered that one from Fraser Elgin. Final one for this one, Sean. So there's questions people have asked me about the flat, and it's good to know that people are interested. And it leads me to believe I could start a YouTube channel about my home improvements. There might be an audience for it. Probably not. Maybe see if I can get a sponsorship deal with Antico. Maybe get the flooring done in my hall. But anyway, final question here is from Duncan Mackay. Why did you think you couldn't drink Glasgow tap water?
I'll be honest here. I never see when you put that question in the group chat. I didn't answer immediately because I was like, right, well, is he joking? But then several other people did jump on it, and it became aware that you were genuinely asking if Glasgow tap water was available to drink.
It was a sincere question. I was actually a bit taken aback by the...
So do you think... So obviously, you've been brought up in FK5.
Yep.
Did you think there was elements of this country where you can't drink tap water?
I'm thinking like down at London or places like that where you say you can't
drink. But you haven't moved to London, I suppose, would be the query.
I just thought it's because you've moved to a big city, certainly a lot bigger than FK5, that you might need to change your drinking habits. And that's the question came, it was asked in good faith that whether or not you can drink water from a tap. I asked my friends, can you drink water from a tap? And they were like, this is a bit. After one question, like, how do you use what's the point of a spin cycle? Was one. How do you dry clothes in a flat? These were all sincere questions that I genuinely needed answers with, and they weren't forthcoming.
It sometimes feels you've had a bit of a naive upbringing. And every now and again, if I can, I hope that doesn't seem too harsh. No, sometimes feels like you've had a naive upbringing.
How do you dry clothes in a flat without making them smell?
Just hang them over a clothes horse.
But then how do you put it next to a radiator?
Yes.
Right. I'm trying to dry bed sheets at the moment. It's proven to be an absolute nightmare. They're taking
Have you got a big radio?
Big-ish.
Go for that approach.
Right. I'll let you know how it
goes. If you need them dried quickly.
Okay. Well, we'll see if they've been drying for the best part of the day. I can imagine going to bed in soggy bed sheets tonight. This would be horrible. I mean, no man deserves to.
I wouldn't like that. I wouldn't like that.
You don't want to go to bed wet. Hey, is there anything else to say, Sean? I quite enjoyed that.
That was a random hour or so, but it was absolutely fine.
There was we'll do another one of these at some point soon. It's just I think the problem I'm having at the moment, Sean, I don't know about yourself. It's just when it comes to when a view for the terrace starts back up, trying to balance that with your own job. Is difficult.
I work. I work 4 days a week, so I could do the show on a Wednesday. But if we are doing the show, I actually don't have a day off. So yeah. When we generally do these shows, I have a day off and I can watch lower league football and keep up with Pine Bovril. But if we're doing the show, it's a wee bit more difficult to kind of keep up with.
I found that last night. I fully intended to go back. I think you and I discussed a couple of games we were going to look at, and I fully intended to watch them. But see, when I got back in last night, knackered, absolutely knackered. Just sat down and had a think.
Yeah, the wee think. What were you thinking about?
Just this girl. But we'll save that for another time. Listen, Sean and I are just about to go and record a Patreon. We're going to be looking at last night's Fife Derby, the 1-1 draw between Raith Rovers and Dunfermline Athletic. That's going to be your Patreon account. So make sure you subscribe to that. You can buy it for $2 a month. I think that translates to roughly £2 a month, give or take a couple of pence. And it's different tier system. So please do that because your money is always gratefully received. And there's just tons of content and there's like a podcast a day going up. And there's a podcast where they do reviews. You talk about Still Game and shit like that. So
if you like Still Game, then that's the one for you. I don't like it. I think it's quite cheesy and doesn't make me laugh. And I don't understand anybody that likes it.
But that's the thing. I think I find Still Game very broad. I don't find it funny myself. I found Chewing the Fat funny. I thought Chewing the Fat, I know that's where Jack and Victor started off and then Chewing the Fat.
For about three episodes, and then you realised that every joke was the same every week.
Some of them were good though, and some of the stuff actually are words and phrases that I still use in my everyday life. I thought Chewing the Fat was very funny, but I just think it's like, there's no punchlines, it's just swearing. It's like old people swearing, and it's not funny.
But don't tell anybody that listens to the podcast about...
No, so maybe if you want to listen to Craig Fowler tell you why old people swearing is funny, then give it a go. I'm gonna
give us your money to do so. And yes. don't believe us when we tell you it's shit.
Aye, if you...
The podcast is very good. Incidentally, the podcast is excellent.
What podcast?
Is there not a podcast about the television show?
Our television show is Still Game.
It's Still Game.
Yeah, aye. That's what I'm saying. Craig Fowler does it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So the podcast is, I'm sure, is excellent, but the television show, less so.
Right, yes. I remember Methadone Mick when they brought him into it.
I'd given up. I'd given up by about episode three, series one.
because you lasted a lot longer than I did then. But anyway, Sean, thank you very much. I will see you shortly, and thank you very much for listening. Take care and enjoy your football.
Sports Social Podcast Network.